I went to both nights. I was invested.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
It's time for a new Geeky Boners episode. Molly has a new techno gadget he's playing with. Nick has a new game he's playing with. And Tim just wants to do another podcast. What a dork.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Tim Wick, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
That's me.
And Nick Glover.
I'm here.
Yes, right over there, right next to me. You can't see it, but you can hear it. I mean, we're all on the same
present.
Yeah. So, it's time for a Geeky Boners episode.
Yay.
We're going to have all sorts of discussions about the stuff that's got us super, super puffed up. Super.
Puffed up sounds, like, allergic. It sounds less like it's full of blood and more like it's full of histamines.
Pumped up like when you use a penis pump.
Look, I'm just...
And it pulls all the blood. You remember the penis pump?
I just feel
sure
like...
Sure
you
do.
I'm trying to come up with something different. I feel like we've used turgid a lot. I feel like we've used engorged a lot.
Right.
I was trying to
and
come up with...
And blood-soaked isn't quite the right vibe.
No,
it's just kind of creepy. So, I mean, I'm sorry. I was trying something new. But maybe next time. We do
trying
the
something
boner.
New with your boner?
Something new with my boner.
You know?
So, speaking of new boners, hey, Molly, what's your boner?
Oh, so my boner is... a bit of a braggy boner.
My boner
is that right now I am having the luckiest, sweetest, most fortunate time of my life. And it's going to be my birthday in like a couple weeks. And it's our anniversary in 1 week. And I have been, I don't know, I feel like super spoiled lately. So I crashed my car and that was awful. But I got really lucky because Gap Insurance basically just wiped that totally clean. We owed nothing on it. Didn't even own a deductible or anything. That was taken care of by the Gap Insurance. Got a new car and it's amazing. Same payment as we were paying before. So it's like nothing happened except I got a new car, which is cool.
And the payment will go longer now. But
well,
I mean,
yeah,
like,
but it was,
it's not like we'll ever be having a car and not paying
exactly,
for a payment.
Exactly. So that was great. And then...
sorry to shit on your boner.
No, it's fine. It's
I'm sorry. that's great. And I want to keep going with your boner. I just wanted to go. You crashed your car.
Yeah.
I just have to say, I remember you posting about it, and like 15 people in a row are like, "Oh, and make sure you go to the hospital. Go see a doctor. Go see a doctor."
Yeah.
And I finally posted on it. You know what? Fuck it. Don't go see a doctor. These people aren't the boss of you.
She did go to a doctor, though.
Well, of course, of course she did. And the whole reason I posted that is I'm like, Molly's not stupid.
Yeah, right?
Of course she's going to go see a fucking doctor.
No, but you should go be checked out. I'm going to echo the other 14
people. Go to my chiropractor.
Okay, so that was where I drew the line.
That's why I'm like, finally, like, these people are not the boss of you. Don't go see the fucking doctor.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to your new car.
Back to the new car. So they got the new car, and that's really cool. And then I got a Zappos was like, this website for like shoes and purses was like, hey, you haven't bought anything for a while. You better buy something. Here's $25 off. And I was like, yay. So I got a new purse and it's super great. It's like new purse and a new car. And then husband gave me this scarf I'm wearing for my birthday early and it's super great. And it has my favorite passages from my favorite book printed on it. And
So I got to ask, because I saw that you got that.
Yeah.
Is it something like you like they have a website or something and you can like say, here's what I want written on the scarf?
There's a company that does, you may have seen, posters and t-shirts and stuff that draw pictures using the text from a book, usually like the opening page.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be like, oh, here's a picture of the Cheshire Cat smile done out of passages about the Cheshire Cat from Alice Wonderland.
Uh-huh.
So, this is, some like the opening to Name of the Wind and some other parts from Name of the Wind.
From it. And it's called Story Arts. It's STORIARTS is the company.
Now I gotta write that down.
And they do book art. They make art out of text.
And I love it. So that's very exciting. And then there was something else that happened that was new. I got my hair done. Oh, and then I got an Apple Watch.
Apple Watch.
This is exciting. My boner is mostly about this watch. So my Fitbit one day, it had been peeling apart for a while, and then it just fell off my wrist one day at work last week. Like, I was like, oh, something feels loose, and I looked down, and my Fitbit was on the ground in two pieces. Huh. And it couldn't get replaced anymore, because I'd already gotten it replaced twice in the year that since I'd bought the first one. And so they were like, well, like, we'll give you...
You're just hard on Fitbits.
Yeah, they're like, we'll give you a code, but... And so I was...
A code for like 20% off.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I could get the Fitbits version of the smartwatch, which is decent, but it doesn't do half the stuff the Apple one does, or I could get the Apple one. And we had money, and it was great, and Nick had won the amateur, or the Survivor Vilten thing, and he was like, we can spend
You're
a little
flush
money on
with
that.
Cash.
I know. So I bought it, and I actually really like
it's
it a lot.
It's only like $400. We don't flush with cash, but anyway.
But so I really like it a lot. The things I like the most are that I don't have to have my phone on me all the time, because I am a woman who wears clothes that don't often have pockets. Or if I have pockets, they're back pockets and jeans, and I can't sit with something with my phone in my back pocket because it'll break. So I can leave my phone in my purse during the workday and have my watch on, and it'll still let me know if I get texts or phone calls.
Okay.
Which is nice, because if I want to, that's the only reason I ever kept my phone on me anyway, was in case that happened. And you can respond from the watch with preset, and you can edit the preset texts, or you can talk to it, and it'll dictate it. But people look at you weird when you're, you know, like, at work in a meeting or something, and it's like...
Which they shouldn't, because you're fucking Dick Tracy.
It is Dick Tracy.
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck?
That's the thing. It's pretty great. And so, it's been really fun. Unlike when you first get a smartphone, and you sort of fall into it for, like, 2 weeks, and you can't really do anything else but play all the games and do all the shit on your smartphone. For me, this hasn't been like that, but I also haven't downloaded a lot of games or anything. It's really just a functional watch that has several other... calendar and text and
sorry,
alert.
Did you say,
heart rate monitor.
Did you say 2 weeks? Because for me, it's been more like 2 weeks.
See, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
But the heart rate monitor is great. It has the activity thing, which shows using rings. It shows your stand ratio, which is, or your number of calories you've burned out of your goal. Active minutes, which is they mark as moving at a pace more than a brisk walk.
All right.
To get your heart rate up. And then your stand, the hours that you have spent more of the hour standing and moving than sitting.
Huh.
And it'll buzz on your wrist and be like, hey, just so you know, if you get up and walk around a little bit, you'll make your goal.
Oh, nice.
And so you get this little like, and it feels like someone just tapping you on the wrist like, pardon me. It kind of feels like
haptic. Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, what? And it looks around, it's like, and it'll say like, hey, you're almost at your goal. So if you just stand up a little bit, and I'm at a standing desk, and just being at a standing desk isn't good enough. You actually do have to move around a little bit, like shift from side to side or walk a little bit.
Put your right arm in and put your right arm out.
Yes. You must shake it all about in order to
a little
receive
bit of shaking.
That. Yes. Yes. So no, I don't know. It's funny. Two things I've discovered about myself in the past couple weeks. With the Survivor show, the Vilten Survivor show, I realized I am not competitive, except for running. But other than running, I feel guilty when I win and people lose. I get really, even if it's merit-based or anything, I get really, like, I was feeling really guilty that I had moved on to the next round when other people hadn't. Not because I thought they did better or anything like that. I just felt bad.
Right.
And so I also have this weird guilt about getting stuff, I discovered, which I didn't notice before. But like, I got this watch, and Nick, for the first time in a while, we didn't double up on our tech.
Yeah.
Usually, like, if one of us is getting a new computer, we both are. If one of us is getting a new phone, we both are. The Fitbits, we both did, that kind of thing. So me getting a new, like, gadgety toy and him not having one, I felt super weird, and I got all, like, feeling bad about it, which is a strange thing, but I've been letting it go.
My Fitbit isn't broken.
I know. So I know it's not. So. It's weird. So I've been trying to let that go and just enjoy the fact that, like, I am in a period of being showered with lovely material goods that are nice, and that is an okay thing, and
that you can enjoy while you are still here on the material plane.
Exactly, because... and that I can enjoy getting these things and earning these things to some degree, and it doesn't have to be like thinking about, like, you know, oh, but do I really deserve it, and getting into that like spiral of like, I don't know, it's weird. It's been a weird...
I'm such a teaser, Tim. I got her three things for her birthday, and I, as they have arrived, I have been wrapping them and like ribboning up the boxes and just like leaving them very visibly in the house.
Like, I came into the living room the other night and I was like, is that a present on the couch? And he's like, it is. I'm like, can I open it? And he's like, yes, that's why it's on the couch. And I was, that was so great.
We're both bad about waiting, but the other ones are going to have to at least wait until after anniversary.
It pisses Pat off something fierce. That, like, she can put a present in front of me and it'll be like, you know, aren't you excited to see what it is? You know, I bet you can't wait until Christmas. So I'm like, no, that's good. I'm excited. I'll see it on Christmas.
Oh.
And I'm sorry, honey. I really am. I'm sorry that I don't, because she wants me so bad to get more excited.
My problem is I don't let myself get excited because then I'll think about it all the time. So he'll be like, what do you think this is? I'm like, I'm not thinking about it. I'm just going to, I have a blind spot where that gift is sitting because I just can't even let myself
think. For me, the waiting part is totally pragmatic. It's like, what good is a thing just sitting in a box for a week or two? You could be enjoying it all this time.
We always give our Christmas gifts to each other like right when they get there. Yeah, so it's like, what's the fucking point?
But this year I'm trying to build anticipation. We'll see.
It's working.
I tell you what, if I knew a box had an Indiana Jones puppet in it that I couldn't open for a while, I'd probably get excited
about
that.
Yeah. Or what if it's like, do you get impatient about giving a gift? Like, if you know you have the perfect gift for Pat and she's going to go crazy.
If I really know, I got to tell you, Pat and I both have the same problem that we're both very difficult to get gifts for. And so knowing that I have the few times I've known I have a perfect gift for Pat, I get very excited.
Yeah.
And the few times I've been right are even better. Because that is not a Venn diagram. That's a Venn diagram that is not 100% matching.
No, I'm with you. Especially when the longer you're married, the harder that gets, it feels, I think. Yeah. Like after a while, because like the longer you're married, the more you're sort of just getting the things you need together for whenever you have the money and the time. Yeah. And so when gifts come along, it's like, well, we're pragmatic people. I'm not going to buy you like jewelry, like a bunch of expensive,
we're nerds. But even there, I just don't ever know what the right nerd thing is that's going to make her excited and go, this is cool. Like, you know, we were talking about this before we started recording the episode. I just got this new Lego set that I bought for myself because it's Han Solo being frozen in carbonite. I got it because fucking Lego Han Solo frozen in carbonite. Why is that not a thing that everybody wants?
Well, you can swap him around and he's both ways.
It's great. So, but then that gets me excited. But of course, I went out and got it because I'm like, fuck, I got to have this.
Yeah. Every Christmas, Nick's mom, and my birthday too, Nick's mom is like, I think both dismayed and surprised that I'm so excited about getting kitchen stuff. Like when we were first dating and married, and they started buying me Christmas presents, and it would be like, I would open up like a thing of mixing bowls and be like, yay, the mixing bowls I wanted. And Heather, the very strong woman, feminist, social justice warrior, would sort of look at me and be like, that's what you wanted is cook. I mean, that's what it was on your list. You wanted mixing bowls. I'm like, yeah, no, these are good mixing bowls. I'm gonna cook a lot of stuff.
You're like, women can like cooking.
I know, and women, it was just, like, she was always, you could tell it. She was like, but I, the 70s, I don't know what to. Mm.
All right. So anyway, we've
I'm sorry, my boner was so big, you guys.
It was very
big. It was a really big, glossy boner.
It was so big, and it kind of brushed Nick
just,
and I.
Just everyone, just take a deep breath and just kind of relax and let my boner in.
All right, Nick, what is your boner?
My boner, and I think I talked about this in another episode to some degree or not, but I've been playing this game called The Division lately.
Sounds familiar.
It's a Tom Clancy game. It's a multi...
First-person shooter?
Third-person. Multiplayer. New York is hit by a plague on Black Friday. Some guy engineers a virus and infects a bunch of money and spreads it around at some shopping malls and stuff on Black Friday. So it spreads very quickly. Probably has like a 90-95% death rate.
Yeah.
And so you're this second wave of agents that have been activated to be sent into New York to help quell some of the rioting and the prisoners that have broken out of Rikers. And the first wave of agents that were sent in actually, like, went rogue and went bad and kind of like took over some of the city. And so you're sent in to deal with all this stuff and to kind of maintain government continuity or whatever.
Do you get to go rogue eventually?
You do.
All over everyone's fucking faces.
So the majority of the map is, and it's a very, very realistic recreation of a good part of New York City.
That's always cool.
People have been saying, like, I got really freaked out because I went to my favorite bodega and everyone inside was dead. Nah, and it looks, and like the outside, it looks just like, I mean, it's my neighborhood. Like, there's my apartment building. Yeah, there's my
here's
bodega.
A guy hanging out the window of my apartment.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
really cool.
Pretty great scale and everything, too. So the majority of the map is organized by neighborhood or borough, and you and your friends can do missions together and you know, PvE or player versus enemy co-op gaming. And there's daily missions that you could run harder and daily challenges, which are harder still. But just today, a new free little expansion dropped called Incursions. And that's, I haven't done it yet, but when we go home after we're done recording, I'm going to hop online and join up with some of my buddies, and we're gonna run these new Incursions and get all this new loot and all this new stuff that they put out for free. But then there's this area right in the middle of the map called the Dark Zone, where the first wave of dudes that were sent in to hold the city started in this Dark Zone, and eventually the government was just like, nah, fuck this area. We're not gonna get this back. We're not gonna control the plague here. We're gonna wall it off and fucking forget about it.
Oh my God.
And this first wave of dudes were like, all me and my buddies died for nothing. Like, we're just gonna give up and wall it off. You know, fuck you. And so this middle area has no communication to the outside world.
Huh.
And as such, there are no rules or consequences for your actions. To some degree, you can go into this area, and that's where harder enemies are, better rewards are, and it's all contaminated with the virus, so you're wearing a gas mask the whole time. There's chat where anyone in your vicinity of your character, you can hear them and they can hear you.
Like through the headphones.
Through the headphones. So if you walk up to some strangers on the street, other players, you'd be like, hey, what's going on? What's up? How many guys are in your crew? What are you guys doing right now?
Which
you
is guys... unprecedented. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, some MMOs have had, like, World of Warcraft
and stuff.
But it's
not like this. Not a game like this.
The other day I was playing and... So any loot you get in these contaminated dark zones, you can't just walk out with. You have to go to specific designated extraction zones, fire a flare in the air, which alerts everyone in the area.
That there's somebody with shit that they
there's
want.
There's someone with loot
that's
trying to get their loot out. And you have to hold this area for a minute and 30 seconds or so before a helicopter arrives. And you have to run up to the chain, attach your gear right out in the open, nice and vulnerable, and send it up off of the helicopter.
So when you're playing, do you sometimes see flares in the distance?
Yes.
And you're like, and you go?
We don't go rogue very often.
Mm.
So but we hunt. So if you go rogue, if you attack some people...
So PvP is rogue?
It puts a bounty on your head. And if you kill people that go rogue, and it flags you on the map, people can see where you are and you're rogue. So people go on rogue hunts all the time.
That's awesome!
To steal the gear that they stole, like anti-piracy.
So if you kill someone who went rogue, you're not considered going rogue.
Nope.
But you get this stuff.
But if you shoot someone that's not... So here's the tricky thing. So going rogue is when you do a certain amount of minimum damage to another player that is not rogue.
Okay.
Some people are seeing you fight computer enemies, NPCs, and they will run into the middle of your firefight and stand between you and enemies so that you accidentally shoot them
and accidentally
get triggered as rogue, and then they can justifiably kill you without consequence or repercussion.
It'd be crazy if they had other guys in a group just waiting off in the wings, and then like one guy goes forward and gets shot.
It happens.
That's like some Walking Dead, like
it's great
entrapment.
It's super great. So what they've done is they've made an entire extra challenging area of a game where there's all this mistrust. I've seen guys form a group online with their matchmaking tools who have gone out, gotten gear, gone to go extract, and then the guy that's in their group that they matchmade with leaves their team and kills everyone on the team he was matchmade with, takes their shit and extracts it while they're dead. Huh. You can betray your own team members.
That's fucked up.
So me and the guys I play a lot of games with, I played a lot of Destiny with, have been playing that lately.
They're kind of your core D&D guys.
Yeah. D&D crew, and it's been really, really fun. The beta was great. This has been a blast, and I was playing a little this afternoon with just strangers on the internet, just the PvE stuff, not the Dark Zone stuff. Mm-hmm. But they added some things today, like every hour, a crate will drop into the Dark Zone in a random location. You have 3 minutes to get to that crate and open it before it disappears. The loot in the crate is not contaminated, so whoever opens it gets it. Period.
Oh, wow.
Race to the crate.
Huh.
And they tweaked a lot of the treasure and loot systems today in a mostly for a really great way, and they added like sets of armor that give you stacking bonuses when mm-hmm. you have multiple set types and other features that are common amongst other games but new to this one.
That's cool.
And I just really love walking around in a real city that feels kind of alive but kind of dead and dormant.
And it was Black Friday when the plague hit, so all this stuff is Christmas.
Christmas decorations. The whole city has like
sad, weird
Christmas lights.
Some of them corpses. Are on. So yeah, right? Like,
oh,
yeah.
One of the best parts is, in addition to Christmas decorations, there are advertisements for like the latest video game in all the electronic stores, or
the way there is a Christmas
billboards for like the Christmas movie this year. There's like all these fictional movies that are, you know, like advertised all over the city.
So is part of the game trying to find out who like started the plague, or is that not even
so
important?
The campaign of the game, the single
stuff.
Single or co-op, you figure out that some dude bought like a bio printer and managed to download like DNA sequences for smallpox and some other viruses, and did it because he's kind of a Gaia eco-terrorist type guy. Like, he's gonna, you know, he's like, well, hey, I might not survive this plague, but you know what? At least most of the other people won't either, and the Earth will, you know, have a fighting chance. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the game, and the single-player campaign is a very small part of the game, I would say,
right,
but very fun. By the end of the game, you realize that this guy's apartment is right next to where you started the game, but you didn't know it was his apartment. And so you walk into his apartment, and you have this this echo technology where you can walk into certain zones and it'll put together video based on surveillance and recordings and people's cell phones and stuff like that. It'll put together like a 3D holographic investigation thing that you can do little vignettes of the plague in the city when it was going down. And so you can walk in there, and the leader of the first wave of agents that went rogue is leaving you a message in 3D holographic recording as he walks into the virus engineer's apartment and is like, let me tell you, this is not as black and white as you think it is. And sure, they might come up with a cure for the green poison, which is one of the names of the viruses that people call it. But you know what? With a little tweaking and a little re-engineering and this 3D printer and all his notes, there's no reason we can't just come up with another one or another one.
Oh, that's fucked up.
And so, and he's like, but you know what? You have your own decisions to make. You know, and he kind of sets it up as, we went rogue for a reason because they fucked us. I think you might be angry too. And that's how the game ends. And then all the end game content after that is either PvE co-op stuff,
huh,
or this weird PvE PvP environment where you can go rogue and you can kind of become one of these last man battalion, you know, guys that were
That's
brought
awesome.
In. It's very fun, and I feel like the Dark Zone thing is such a great social experiment because you see people talking about it on the Facebook page for the game. They're like,
yeah,
I got a fucking Midas gun and some asshole killed me, and then I went and hunted him down and killed him and his buddies, and I got my gun back, and then someone took it back from me.
It's
and
very
like
post-apocalyptic, all these like actual.
Yeah. It really is. I'm digging it.
So Tim.
So yeah.
What's your boner? What's got you rock hard and good?
You know what I was going to talk about there. We did Die Laughing a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And there was this thing that happened that was, this got me very excited about.
In the pants.
Yeah, super excited in the pants, to the point that I might be trying to put together a new podcast, which I don't know if that's a good idea or not. But anyway, there was somebody who didn't show up for their scheduled performance. And it was she went to the wrong Doubletree. There are two Doubletrees, and she was at the wrong one.
You'll have that.
So
that hotel changes names every 3 years.
Yeah,
so.
Well, pretty soon it won't matter, right? But so they had a half hour to fill, and they were like, I don't know, we've got to figure out something to do a half hour. And I was out in the lobby area, and I was talking to Suzanne Becker, who's in the dregs with me, and she's like, Tim, do a podcast about biking. I'm like, what? She's like, just do a podcast about biking. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, only if you do it with me. And I went and grabbed Andy Wilkins, friend of the show, and said, come and do a podcast with me.
Okay.
Not a real podcast. We're going to do a fake podcast.
Okay.
We're going to do a hipster biking podcast.
All right.
Where it was just three hipsters talking about bicycling, and we did it for a half an hour. And it was just this improvised podcast with three super mellow, like maybe stoned, maybe just,
nice,
you know, vegan bicycle hipsters in Seattle talking about bicycling. And it was... It started strange, and it got really progressively hilarious. And we had a decent audience, and they were laughing their asses off. And the three of us were just like, that really worked.
Yeah.
It was really easy. You just pick a topic, and you pretend you know about it.
Yeah, that's actually a brilliant improvisational structure.
It is. We were like, this is really easy. So Fearless Lab was coming up later in the day,
and I agreed.
Yeah.
Pick a topic and pretend you know about
it. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, all right, well, we got Lab coming up later. I said I'd do something there. Hey, Andy, let's do this again.
Yeah.
And pick a different topic.
Yeah.
And we had the audience pick a topic. We were like, just give us a hobby. So they shouted out a bunch of hobbies. We picked spelunking.
All right.
And then we had Duck Washington come in as our guest.
Nice.
And all we said is, you know, we're going to introduce you as our guest. You're going to be an expert on the topic. And from there, wherever it goes, it goes.
Yeah.
And he starts he started talking about his mom's cave.
Oh, God.
And Andy and I determined that we were never, ever going to acknowledge that that he was talking about sex. We were always talking about caves.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always talking about his mom's cave. And we were asking him if there were bats in his mom's cave. And and if, you know, if he followed the rules of threes when it comes to caving.
How
and
many
always
men
went,
died in there?
How dank is it? Like how...
It worked again.
That's great.
It worked again. I mean, like, and we were like, you can do this.
Yeah.
As a regular show, we're talking about whether or not we want to go to long-form improv theater in town. Huge. See if maybe they've got a night of the week that is something we could try. They're usually booked up, but maybe something 4 or 5 months down the road.
You could put in for Go-Go, if nothing else.
You could put in for Go-Go,
You could call it, you know, you could call it podcasting, and that could just be, and you could just put it in for that, and that would be a great way to try it out.
Right. And that would be a good way to try it out, and we'll probably try it out a few more times. We're talking about actually trying to put it together at Convergence.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
And, I mean, it's a thing where I just know you could get any comedian in town.
They would
especially people who are strong in improv.
Any improv comedian would do it.
Absolutely.
Because it's just...
As soon as I heard about it, I was like, I want to be on that show. Like, I just instantly, I was like, that sounds amazing.
I'll talk about anything with some
it's literally
air of authority.
You talk about something like you know it.
Yeah.
And we were talking about bicycling and, you know, asking each other, you know, how many speeds are on your bike? I ride a fixie. Well, I actually have 10 speeds on my bike. Oh, my God, but they're all the same speed.
I have 27 different fixies, each at a different speed.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to want in a day.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, that sounds super fun.
And you know, what I loved about it was, like, Susie is a wonderful performer. I've been with her in a band for years, and she always talks about how she can't improvise.
It's so funny
because she's so good at it.
When she lets herself.
When she just
relaxes.
And the beautiful thing is here, she just kind of relaxed.
Yeah.
It was like, it was working.
Mm-hmm.
And so she didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Are you guys at Fearless putting up the individual shows or just certain ones? Like from the, I know you guys were recording everything.
We got the whole thing and I don't know what we're going to do with
it. Yeah. Because that might be one to put up.
Did you record it?
No, because it was so last minute. I mean, if I'd known, I would have grabbed my... I've got my portable recorder that I can plug into the soundboard, and I could have recorded it. But we were just like, well, fuck it. We got to fill a half hour.
Yeah, that's the way it works when you're doing that show, the die laughing thing.
But it worked, and that was the exciting thing about it. And I don't think we're the first people to have come up with this. I got to believe that there's some other improvisational podcast structure out there that could be exactly the same of people going, you know what, we're just going to come up with a podcast about some different topic.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know that it's happening around here. I would love to get it in. If we could get a stage show, a show where we could actually do the podcast live, because I feel like it will be better live than it will be sitting in your basement.
How many different people have done like an improvised D&D game as as an improvised show? I mean, you know, Bearded Men have done it, but so have a lot of other people.
Jill Bernard just recently, she's one of the founders of Huge. She was just recently posting on her Facebook wall, like, I feel bad when someone comes up to me all bright and shiny with their new improv structure idea that no one's ever done before, but like, I know someone has. And she's like, and then I tell them that someone's done it and they get all sad. She's like, so from now on, I'm just going to go, yay.
But I don't have any, I don't have any fantasies that it hasn't been done before, but at the same time,
you're doing it. That's what counts.
We're doing it. Yeah. We're doing it. And we did, it was really well. So Andy wants to keep doing it. Maybe Susie. And like I say, we can get, literally, I feel like we can get anybody we want.
Oh, I agree.
And they would show up and they would have a ball with it. So
it was
exciting to try something new in the moment.
Well, we got there on Saturday. We got there around 2:30 or 3, and you and Andrea both, the first things either one of you said to us was, we did a podcast about hipster biking and it was amazing. It was an improvised podcast. And we were like, that sounds bizarre. And like the more we heard about it, I was like, that's
cool. Let me
awesome.
Put on my coat.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like that's how ramped up and hard you both were about it. That you were like, I got to tell everyone I see.
And for me, it's like, I love performing. I absolutely love performing. Mm-hmm. I love, like every time Eric asked me to be in Double Blind, I'm like, sweet, I get to be in Double Blind. I'm excited. And you know, but also, I've been doing it for so long, and I do a lot of things that are the same. I've done Ville for years, and I know, and even when we do, like, the Survivor show, which was a super exciting, weird, high-stress show, what I was worried about was doing the show well, but at the same time, I know how to run Ville.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, it's like you can be married in for a long time, and it's not that that's never exciting again. You don't have exciting times together, but it's a different than like that first crush, first few dates excitement of a new project. It's that like,
and
that
this was a baseline
excitement.
This was like, fuck it, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know how this is going to work.
Yeah.
We don't know if we've got a half hour of material and
risk.
Yeah.
You walked off the stage going, holy shit, that works. And that's such a euphoric moment.
It's the risk-reward.
Like, it's like the first time I wrote a musical and it worked. And I was like, what the fuck? I didn't think I could do this.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
That was amazing. So anyway,
I'm really glad that went well and that you enjoyed it to boot, because sometimes it's like that kind of thing happens where you have to fill time in those situations and it can go all right, but it doesn't mean that you enjoyed it or it wasn't just super stressful to get it done, you know?
Right. Yeah. And this was a case where it just really went well. So, anyway, those are our boners.
Boing.
If you have a boner, we Clunk. Would love to hear about it. Just drop that boner right onto our website.
Yeah, if you want to describe, if you want to talk about our boners, I'm always up for hearing why my boner's great.
That's my new boner sound.
Floosh. Goodness.
Okay. So, Molly, it's time for 5 questions. Do we have 5 answers?
We do. We have 5 answers from Brianna Z. And I should note that these are the last 5 answers from 2015.
Ooh.
Wow. We're moving into this year.
Yeah, we are.
We're actually closer than we were on the old 5 answers.
I think so. All right. So this is what Brianna has for her preamble here. I found your podcast through the Minnesota Trans Atheist podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really enjoying what I'm hearing from you every week. Thank you for not being all sciencey and serious. serious and for just having fun. I also love hearing people talk about Minnesota things, like Fantasy Flight Games. I had a recent birthday there with two really good friends who bought me all the hard cider I wanted to drink while we tried out games we had never tried before from the game library. I might even come back to paint miniatures sometime. That was a great time. Almost as good as the time you'll have reading my answers to your five questions.
Oh.
Hashtag high five for segues.
High five is a different podcast. question number one. What's a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
There's two.
Nope.
The Matrix.
Oh, I love The Matrix.
And 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, Taming of the Shrew.
I first saw The Matrix on a VHS tape from a TBS broadcast and fell in love with the whole style thing it had. And 10 Things has Julia Child flirting
Styles.
With Heath Ledger. That's who she means, but she wrote Julia Child.
Really?
I think that's
awesome.
Amazing. As Julia Styles, Child, flirting with Heath Ledger. Yes, please. There's so many fun parts spread throughout both movies that it doesn't matter when I tune into them. I'm sure not to be disappointed, even if I've missed a lot of it.
10 Things also has Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes. Yeah. Plus, everybody ends up happy in both of the movies, except for the people who don't, but I try not to think about that too much.
Everybody ends up happy in The Matrix, and then they make The Matrix 2 and 3, and
that's
all.
There's an intersection here between The Matrix and Trans Atheist Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So The Matrix is... subtle or not so subtle, depending on who you talk to, adaptation/theft of Grant Morrison's comic The Invisibles, which has some pretty strong themes of gender identity. It's not a comic everyone will enjoy. It is really fucking weird. It's also really fucking awesome.
On top of that, it has a connection because of the Wachowski sisters.
Oh, right.
Wachowski sisters. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The Matrix is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, that first
visually,
one's so good.
It just blew
my mind. Completely.
Yeah. Question number two, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
I have an Anakin Skywalker Masterpiece Edition Story of Darth Vader book 12-inch figure that I got as a present. It's horrible to display because of the size and shape of the box, but I love it a little bit more for that quirk. I have read the book over and over to see the concept art, to learn the development of the character, and that was where I first discovered that you can change the characters in a work of fiction if they aren't working for your story, which I had never thought about before reading that book. Plus, the figure is of old Anakin in Jedi robes, not the new Anakin that they did because George Lucas shouldn't have touched it again.
Word.
George
awesome.
Lucas, keep your fingers off my Star Wars.
Just let it go, George. It's done.
Yeah, it's gone, man. She's with someone else now. Question number three. Which supernatural, magical, or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
Unicorns, without a doubt.
Fuck yeah.
Not with the whole pure, only approachable by virgins, super shiny thing going on. More like the ones in Phoebe and Her Unicorn, which is a great comic if you haven't read it before.
Hmm.
I have not.
I'm not even familiar with it.
I will have to look that up.
It sounds like those
up.
Are some cool
like
ass unicorns.
Like Agents of Death,
I wonder,
they are in the mythologically.
Yeah, I wonder if they're like the unicorns in those books. Unicorns are jerks, where it's like unicorns smoking like outside of a convenience store and driving their cars too fast.
Or the episode
of Charlie the Unicorn.
Yeah.
The episode of Regular Show, the unicorn jerks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The unicorn bros, like frat bros.
Okay, so question number four, let's bring it down a little bit. Say religion is gone. What is the problem? Biggest problem that now faces the human race?
Addictions, and possibly the organizations and corporations exploiting them.
Mm.
We've found a lot of ways to trigger the limbic systems through artificial means, and it's very tempting to artificially create an addiction in somebody that makes them crave your product, your viewpoint, or etc.
Mm-hmm.
As we learn how to do this better and better, the range of people susceptible to detrimental addictions gets larger and larger. Cases of erectile dysfunction map very closely with the introduction of high-speed internet to an area.
Huh.
And procreation
is something... Do these people not look at porn?
I don't know. And procreation is something very important to humanity continuing to exist. I did not know that about erectile dysfunction.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
The internet has not caused any erectile dysfunction issues for me.
There's no citing of sources, but I mean...
Well, it's... I mean, one of the things they might be talking about is the idea of, like, the Skinner box. And there's a lot of games and a lot of websites. And even how Facebook organizes the stories it shows you and how far back it scrolls as you scroll down is based on this Skinner box principle of how much advertisement or how much work or effort or how much output can we get out of someone with giving, with how little do we have to feed them?
Sure.
To get the most effort
like,
out of them?
Like slot machines.
Right.
Like how much, how long will you sit and keep pushing the button or pulling a lever without getting any payout or any mini game? And then that's why they do a lot of those little mini games where you get a little bit.
Well, and then they've found that with the Skinner Box type situations for, especially to use a slot machine example, if you get two cherries and then that third one is, you know, a bar or whatever, the exhilaration or like dopamine or whatever level, the reaction that you get from a near win is almost as good as, or as good as, an actual win.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's not
question number five. What is your favorite quote?
People who are unable to motivate themselves must be content with mediocrity, no matter how impressive their other talents. Andrew Carnegie.
Andrew Carnegie.
Practice, practice, practice. And then she says, and on days when I'm not feeling particularly able to be self-motivated, success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or idea. Earl Nightingale.
Nice. Good quotes. I stole your, that was supposed to be yours, Nick. But
that's fine.
And then she closes with, thank you so much for the podcast, and I look forward to hearing you every week. I make sure to listen to you during my walk into work, even if there are other podcasts ahead of you in the queue. Yay, geekiness.
Yay, geekiness.
Thank you, Brianna.
Thank you, Brianna, for answering our questions. Obviously, if you are listening to this podcast and you feel that you would like to answer our five questions, you can do so. Simply send them in to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. We are very excited. They've already been recorded, but you, after this episode, you have to look. You get to look forward to our 199th episode where we talk about some of our favorite experiences from the last 3 years that we've been doing this podcast.
A retrospective.
Yeah. And then you're going to get to hear episodes 200 and 201 recorded live at the Bryant Lake Bowl. I hope maybe you joined us there. I hope we saw you. If we did not, we will see you at some other time. I hope
like
you also
next Tuesday?
Like next Tuesday. I hope you also take a look at our Patreon site that has gone up just recently. Check it out. We are looking to improve our equipment. We're looking to do some wacky, crazy podcast ideas. That,
I need a boob job.
Yeah, Molly needs a boob job.
I'm just kidding. My boobs are perfect dollhouse miniatures.
Tim could use a bigger dick, though.
I could use a bigger dick because, as we have learned, the internet has not given me an erection problem.
His dick is fine. He just wants to possess a bigger dick.
Yeah, like in a jar.
Yeah. If you want to send your five dicks into our five questions.
My understanding is that Rasputin's dick is pretty expensive. So, we're going to need your help.
Us buy Rasputin's dick. Check out our Patreon.
Well, that's a new stretch goal.
Oh, man, we should have made that the just tagline right across the top. Geeks Without God, help us
next
buy
time
Rasputin's
we,
dick.
Next time we do t-shirts, that'll be on the back.
Just a jar with a dick in it, like barely recognizable.
Was the dick stabbed 17 times and poisoned?
And drowned.
Wow.
And drowned.
And pussy.
And that's where we're going to end the podcast. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.
By the way, like 2 days after recording this episode, Nick totally got himself an iWatch.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Good boners, everybody.
Yeah.